this morning and come to this place, Lord, we pray with our minds and hearts to be open and to worship you this morning, Lord, in spirit and in truth. We do pray for these requests of prayers, dear Lord. We pray for our church. Oh God, we pray that you would allow the Holy Spirit, Lord, to move and have liberty to move this morning in each mind and each heart. And Father, we just want to see the Spirit just give us a feeling, Lord, that would be overflowing, dear Father, and be able, Lord, to worship you in the way that, Lord, you would have us to do it. Pray for our pastor, dear Lord. I know he's supposed to be here this morning. Pray for him. Help him as he travels down from home. Take care of him and Ms. Teresa. We pray, dear Lord, for that one this morning, especially though that may be lost this morning. Oh, God, we pray that you'll touch that heart, that mind, and let them see, Lord, their future without you. Father, save those precious souls. Watch over the bus children. Do what you need to do there. Touch the teachers. Touch Brother John this morning. Help him as he stands and as all stand this morning and teach, Lord. And pray that we'll just be a vessels, dear Lord, fit for your use. And Father, fill us this morning. And may we receive that, Lord, that we could take with us, that we could meditate on. And Father, have it with us every day that we walk and do, Lord, what you have us to do. And we'll love thee and thank thee and praise thee for it all. In Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Okay, Book of Colossians. Book of Colossians. Remember also to pray for Wyndham. I tried calling him, but his number's been disconnected, so I don't know. I haven't had an update on him.
I called him the other day, and he was in still a little bit of pain and stuff, but he was doing all right.
Good, good. All right, we'll continue to pray for them and preacher too. All right, last week we saw in this book what we have in Christ. When you're born again, you have some things in Christ. First of all, in verse 2, we found out we are saints and we are brethren. We're related spiritually. Danny's my brother, Floyd's my brother, Teresa's my older sister, and but we're related. And like I've said before, it's a good thing that we can call each other brother or sister, because you don't remember their names if you're like me. So, hey, brother, how are you doing today? And so it works out good in some cases. And then secondly, in verse 4, chapter 1 and verse 4, we found out we have faith in Christ. God gives us a faith that we need, first of all, to get saved, and then to walk in this life so that we can honor and glorify the Lord Jesus Christ and live the exchanged life or the spirit-filled life, however you want to call it. And we have the faith that we can do that, knowing that we are in Christ and Christ is in us. And if you remember, that's a reciprocal indwelling. And as I said, you'll never be able to explain that, but it's just a fact. And then in chapter 1, verse 22, we find that we're reconciled to God. So we're reconciled to God. We're brought back to God because of our being born again. We're adopted into His family. And then in verse 14, chapter 1 and verse 14, praise the Lord for this, we find we have redemption in Christ. Redemption, our sins are gone. The blood of Christ Amen. Washed our sins away.
Yes.
It is, when you stop to think about this stuff, it is exciting, it's thrilling, at least to me it is. Because where would you be without being born again? Especially if you're living for the Lord and you allow Him to live His life in and through you, you'd be out, what, drinking, doing drugs, partying? When I know and you know if you're saved, my sins are gone, I have a mansion waiting for me, I'm going to be with the Lord forever. How long are you going to live in this life?
Right.
How many of your friends that you went to school with are already dead and in the grave? And you don't know where they are. But you know where you're going if you're saved, because you've made that reservation, you've been born again, and we're just waiting to go home. And during our wait, hopefully, we're serving the Lord to the best of our knowledge, according to what we know in the Word of God. And again, I'll get this in there. We should be reading and studying the Word of God so we know what He would like us to do as His children. And then how about this one, verse 28, chapter 1 and verse 28. We are perfect in Christ. You're perfect. And then we're to walk in Christ, chapter 2 and verse 6. And number 2, or chapter 2 and verse 10, we find we're complete in Him. There's nothing lacking in us as far as God sees us, because He sees us through the Lord Jesus Christ. So we're saints, we're brethren, we have faith, we're reconciled to God, we have redemption, we're perfect, we walk in Christ, and we are complete in Him. So we see that we have everything that we need in Christ. Now, let's take a look. I told you we'll take a look at what it means with Christ. You see the term in this book, with Christ. All of the statements that say in Christ run up to chapter 2 and verse 10. After that, you won't find any verses in Colossians that deal with in Christ, because we dealt with them all. And so when we got in Christ, we found out what we possess. These are all the things that we possess as believers. And now it's time, and we're able to enjoy our position with Christ. Knowing what we have in Christ, we can enjoy our position with Christ. And knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ is not a relationship with Him. You've dealt with people over the years, if you've been saved for any amount of time. They know about Jesus Christ. But that doesn't mean that they have a relationship with Him. And you know the only way you have a relationship with God is through the blood of Christ, being born again. Then you're adopted into the family of God. So when we get into Christ, we can enjoy what we have with Christ. And a lot of times when you're dealing with these people that go to these mega churches in the charismatics, what they're doing, because they're joy, joy, joy at the moment, then they're down. Then, you know, they get amongst the music or get amongst other people in the service, it's joy, 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 and then they're down. There's no consistency. And what they're trying to do, they're trying to live the with Christ experience without the in Christ experience. So that's part of the reason you see them how they are. Joyful at times, and then they lost their salvation or they're down. The devil's after me. He's really hindering me. No, no. What's hindering you is your own fleshly desires that are pulling at you, and you're not allowing the Lord to work in and through you to get the victory that we have if we claim that victory. I've mentioned before, we don't have to sin. We don't have to get involved in the stuff that pulls us down, because along with that temptation, He gives us a way out. We just need to take that way out and not walk into the sin. So Colossians 2:20. Take a look at that verse. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 20. Wherefore, if ye be dead with Christ, what are we dead from? The rudiments of the world. Why, as though living in the world, are ye subject to ordinances? Why do you put yourself back under the law? We're free from the law. It's not a matter of, I have to come to church, or I have to go hold signs on Friday, or I have to do this for the Lord. It's a matter of, I want to. That's the difference. I have a desire to serve the Lord. If there's an opening, some way that I can serve the Lord, whether it's passing out a tract, whether it's witnessing one-on-one, then you take advantage of that opportunity. And so we need not to be tied up in the rudiments of this world. We are dead with Christ. Just as surely as his physical life on this earth came to an end, speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ, we are in the estimation of God as God looks at us. And eventually, as we grow in the Lord, as we mature, grow spiritually in the Lord, in our own estimation, we should be dead to the things of the world. What are they going to do for us? We start going back our old ways. And we put, I dug out a CD that we have, and it's one of the Baptist blowouts, and Wilson Calvin, one of the preachers, he's an Indian out of the Navajo tribe, and great preacher, and he's one of them on there. But I review these messages from these blowouts because they are so inspiring. These guys talk about when they got saved, what they were involved in, the experiences they went through, and it is something. Being an Indian, he talks about he studied under his grandfather to be the witch doctor, whatever they call it in the Indian tribes, and how he got saved, and he come out of that, and how he was rejected by his family because of him getting born again. And here again, his testimony about his mother getting saved. She told him, it wasn't you or your preaching, it was your children. I seen them. I seen the change in them. And that's why I got saved. So it makes a difference how you teach and train up your children. But it's exciting if you can get some good preaching in. And I told you, we drive around a lot because that's where when Nora can get comfortable, it's in that car seat. And so we put preaching on most of the time. And it is good to be revived, each one of us. So we are dead with Christ from the rudiments of this world. And as we grow and mature in the Lord, we see ourselves coming away from the world, not having the desires as we used to. And sometimes it takes time to grow in the Lord and see that things, they have no more hold on us, these things that used to draw us. They have no more claim over us. No more than if we died this morning, they wouldn't have any claim on us. And sometimes it's hard for people to understand this. And I've seen cases and heard testimonies where people get saved. They even end up preachers, and they end up back in the world. Unfortunately, you can go on and pull up anyone's name and see what's happened to them. Guys that went to Bible school were serving the Lord, and all of a sudden you see their picture on there. they've been arrested for drugs or whatever it is, and it breaks your heart, really. And why do that and then try and get yourself right with the Lord? Because that's in your mind all the time after that. You know, I let the Lord down. And the devil will use that to discourage you. And it's the same with us. If we get into sin, whether anybody knows about it or not, you know about it. It's in your mind. And to get right with me, you confess it. And you should forsake it, move on from there. But it's still in your mind. As I said, that computer brain of yours does not have that delete button on. We can't just wipe it out because it's there.
Yes, to God we could.
Oh, man. But we go on forgetting those things that are behind and go on for the Lord. Then in chapter 2 and verse 12, it says, buried with him in baptism, wherein ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. So we find out that we're buried with him and we're risen with him. That's a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. When he gave up the ghost, they buried him. He rose from the dead. It's what happened to us spiritually when we got born again. We died to the things of this world. We were buried with him, and we rose again with him. We are dead, chapter 2, verse 12. We're buried with him, verse 13. And Colossians 2:13 says, and you, being dead in your sins, in the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. Now, words are important. I always teach you that. Quickened means not just to be made alive, but to never die again. That's, we're talking spiritually, to be separated from God. So quicken is to be made alive, never to die again. And you know the operation that took place in chapter in chapter 2, where he cuts your soul away from your flesh. So we're no longer under the control of the desires of the flesh, so we can move on to serve him and bring honor and glory to him. So just as surely as Christ died and was buried and then revived, so with Christ we are dead, we were buried, and we are made alive also. The picture of the Lord Jesus Christ is what took place in our life when we got born again. Then in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 1, it says, if ye then be risen with Christ, what are we to do? We're risen with Christ, now what? Seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Now, looking at this, we see two raisings of Christ. Okay? And 2 and verse 12, he was buried, and then he rose again. We were buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. His bodily raising from the tomb, he was risen from the grave. We have that in common with Christ. And then, note that the in 3:1, he is risen and sitteth on the right hand of God. That is an ascension. That's not from the grave. That's ascension. We're seated in the heavenlies with him. We've ascended also with him. We're in Christ, and he's seated at the right hand of the Father, and that's where we are spiritually. So it's One is resurrection from the grave, and the other one is the ascension to go back with the Father. So what did Jesus do? He died. He was buried. He rose from the dead. He was made alive forevermore, quickened. And he ascends to sit at the right hand of the Father. Now, what we read in Colossians, if you're a saint, if you have put your faith and trust in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ, then all of those things are true of you. That's why you can have the confidence to walk through this world and face what comes our way without falling into depression. You're going to get down. I've told you before, we all get down. But you don't stay there because we know what we have, what we are in Christ, with Christ. We know the victory's already there. So we don't have to wallow in our sorrows and our troubles. And there's nothing that we have to do to defeat death. Christ and you have already done it. There is nothing that you have to do to conquer the grave. With Christ, you've already done it. You've risen with Christ. There is nothing you have to do to attain eternal life. With Christ, you already have it. And there's nothing you have to do to get to heaven or to spend eternity with the Lord, because with Christ, you're already there. You're seated in the heavenlies. The book is teaching the believer not to go out and try and accomplish this or that or any other part of salvation, because it's already been done for you and with you if you're in Christ. The book of Colossians was written to assure you that Christ has accomplished all this for you. That's why you can walk with the peace of God. Not only peace with God, you get that when you're born again, but you can walk with peace of God, knowing that whatever's going to happen in your life, as long as it's not you being foolish or stupid, getting involved in sin and reaping what you sow, whatever comes your way, it can be handled because it's you're allowing God to handle it through you. What do you mean, John? You're completely innocent. You're driving down the road. Someone crosses the highway, or a deer runs into the side of your vehicle. Why? Why would that happen? Who knows? The circumstances. By chance. The Bible talks about by chance these things happen. And you just take the attitude, well, Lord, I wasn't doing anything wrong. I know I'm right with you. Now, what do you want me to learn from this situation? How can I draw closer to you? What do you want to show me from your word? It may be you meet somebody, you get an opportunity to witness to them. You don't know what it is. But if you do something stupid, you go out, get drunk, get high, and you get in an accident, you kill somebody maybe. Whoa, God, why'd you do this to me? No, you did it to yourself. Our actions were to seek those things above. Walk as Christ would walk. So all of your trust and all of your confidence is to be in Jesus Christ, and none of it in yourself. We are nothing. When it comes to spiritual things, I know what I am. I am nothing. And as I've said before, you know, in this world we can brag on what we've done, what we've accomplished. But remember, we would accomplish nothing if it wasn't for the Lord being gracious and merciful to us. You know, the recognition you've gotten over the years, it'd be nothing if the Lord didn't allow us to be able to do that. You ever stop to think how fortunate you are? Your eyes may dim as you get older, but you have vision. You're not in an iron lung or in a hospital bed permanently. You're able to walk. You may not be able to walk like you used to years ago, but you can still walk. You can get around. We need to be thankful for these little things in our lives that we overlook and take for granted. What an encouraging message it is for us as we read this book.
Talking about being thankful, I was looking on Facebook the other day, and there was a thing on there about a young lady. She had lost both her arms and her legs. And she had a caption under there how that she was so thankful to God for the life that she has to live.
Yeah.
And you're thinking, my, you've lost your arms, your legs. And, you know, you think in your mind, how can you really be thankful?
Right.
She says, I'm thankful that I'm still alive. I can still get around. I've got, you know, the artificial limbs that helps me to go.
Yeah.
And that was encouraging.
One prime example, I don't know if you've ever known of or heard Joni Erickson. I think she was about 18 years old, dove in the pool, broke her neck, and hasn't had use of her limbs. She's a good teacher when it comes to teaching women, and she's got a great testimony. I think she paints with the brush in her mouth. So it's a matter of your relationship with the Lord and your attitude towards the Lord. And, you know, we bang our toe, and some of those words almost slip out, or sometimes they may slip out. And instead of being, okay, Lord, you woke me up. Next time I won't be so stupid. I'll put a light on. something like that. But we need to be thankful for whatever we have. Many of us try to overcome those obstacles, and we don't do a good job. Many of us have tried to win some of those victories, and still unattainable in our own flesh. If we believe what is written in this little 4-chapter book of Colossians, that it's already been done for me, take it for you individually, by Jesus Christ, it makes a big difference in our lives. And because I am in Jesus Christ, I can enjoy everything that He enjoys, because it's a with situation. I am with Christ. I'm in Christ. I'm with Christ. So He didn't overcome the grave. Christ and I overcame the grave. Christ and you overcame the grave. He didn't overcome death. It was you and Christ, me and Christ, overcame death. Principalities and powers, He overcame them. I'm in Christ. I'm with Christ. We overcome principalities and powers. That's why I say, as long as you allow Christ to live in and through you, and rather trying to live your own life outside of Christ, we have the victory. It's ours for the taking. He is not writing these things so that we can boast or glory in them, but so that we can praise Him and rejoice in Him. Every victory that we have, we should be giving praise to the Lord. Every challenge that's overcome, when we get victory over sin, and we give praise to the Lord rather than, hey, I'm spiritual, I didn't do this. You just fell, friend. So with Christ, Colossians 3:3, for ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Many say, and you've heard it, I'm sure, well, I'm just trying to live it. We should try to live it. But it's not a matter of us living it. I'm just doing the best I can. And you should do the best that you can. But it's allowing the Lord to live His life in and through us. But if you are trying to live it and do your best, you can either so that you can either keep it or attain it, then you're wasting your time and frustrating yourself unnecessarily, because you're going to see yourself fall. And you get frustrated with that. Well, I tried it and I just couldn't. The thing is that they'll say, the devil got the victory over me. No, the devil didn't get the victory. You gave it up. It's your desires that you yielded to from the flesh that is the reason that you lost it. Remember, the Lord gave me the very life of Christ. He gave you the very life of Christ. And then He took the life that He gave me, me and that life, and the life and me, and He hid it in Christ, and He hid Christ in God. So, a little complicated, I'm in Christ, Christ is in God, that's where you are, if you're saved, that's where I am. What's our future? When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then ye also shall appear with Him in glory. That's your future if you're saved.
Amen.
Paul, the apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, and Timotheus, our brother. We'll continue on next week with this. But that's what you have with Christ. Remember, in Christ you are a saint, you're brethren, you have faith, you're reconciled. You have redemption, you're perfect, you walk in Christ, you're complete. And then with Christ you have the victories, you're dead with Christ, you're quickened with Him, you're made alive. You're seated at the right hand of the Father with Christ because you're in Him, you're with Him. And that is how we should live, as if we are seated in the heavenlies, and we want to bring honor and glory to the Lord Jesus Christ. So hopefully we'll get a blessing out of this. It'll encourage us to live as we can for the Lord Jesus Christ, allowing Him to live His life in and through us. All right, Benjamin, how about praying for us?
Father God, we thank You for this morning that You've given us. Lord, we do thank You for this time that we have to come in and worship You today and enjoy the fellowship of our brothers and sisters in Christ. Lord, we do ask that You'll have mercy on our country, Lord, and help us do what we need to do as Christians to make things right, Father. We fail in so many areas, but Lord, we need Your strength and need Your leadership and Your guidance, Father, to help us handle these problems that we have in a Christ-like manner. Lord, we pray for a good spirit today throughout the church. We pray that hearts and minds are open to receive the Word today and to use the words, Lord, Your words, to do what we need to do and be better Christians today than we were yesterday. Lord, we pray that if someone comes in today and they're lost, time is short. Lord, we pray they don't leave that way.
We pray that they get right with you and accept you as a sister.
Lord, we do ask for mercy.
Yes.
And we thank You for the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we thank You for the blood of us. Without that, we have no hope. Lord, we know that the old devil is defeated. We're on the winning side. We love You and we thank You for that. Thank You for all that You've done for us, Lord, and all You will do for us. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen. Thank you all. Appreciate it.